Welcome to your unique brain, creatively connecting the bodies, minds, and hearts of those living with a traumatic brain injury and others that are dealing with hypersensitivity and a compromised nervous system. This is part two of the interview with Shay Smith, an herbalist who shares her personal experience with Lyme disease. She says it's a hero's journey, a spiritual path that breaks you open. One of the biggest gifts God gave me to get my life back on track. I'm impressed, I have to say, how you were able to look at the benefits that outweigh the losses that you have experienced.
Yeah. Well, like, I only have, keep a small collection of clothes now. Colors are overwhelming to me. If there's too many colors in my closet, I don't want to have to maintain all this stuff. I don't want to have to,
make decisions.
And so that's made life really easier. Same with my kitchen, you know, I just have exactly what I need. It's really easy to keep clean. It's really easy to keep organized. And shouldn't it have been like that from the beginning?
Yes.
You know, where did I go wrong? I'm thinking that I needed pants in every color to go with my shirts in every color that would go out of fashion in a year or two. And, you know, what was I thinking back then?
Yeah.
I like where my life is now in the simplicity, but when it was being formed and I had to give it all up, I hated it. I was so, I love this outfit. I love all these clothes, but you know, finding new homes for them, taking them to consignment stores, and then with the reality of like, life is so much easier with 10 outfits in my closet.
And how did you make the shift from dealing so much with your own health and recuperating, building up resilience and resting, to then create your own business?
Step by step. So I lost the ability to do math. Numbers became beautiful, squiggly lines that had no numerical meaning to me. And even if I looked at a number, I couldn't remember it. Like, two was just a beautiful swan to me. It was not two items of something. And so, to run a business, you need to do math. And so I would go to the grocery store, and in their magazine section, they had these little workbooks for kindergartners and preschoolers that taught them how to count and how to do math and how to trace numbers. And that's where I started. I did four or five books of nursery school, and then, you know, I did a couple of kindergarten level books. And it was really like learning math all over again. I'm like, oh, so two means one apple plus one apple. Those two apples now make that swan. So I will always know from here on out that if there's a picture of a swan, it's really two of something. Mm-hmm. And it was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And, I got through.
Yeah.
I went through the whole thing. And it was just step by step. And just being humble about it, it's like, okay, so I guess I need to learn how to do math.
Yeah. And it looks like you came from all angles, nutritional, with herbs, with, you know, what exercises, meditation, yoga.
Not so much exercise. Yeah. I didn't have the stamina to do that.
Yeah, going to the mailbox.
Yes, yeah.
Friend, environment, you changed, you did what you needed to do to change your life.
Well, and
moved away from the city.
Yeah, and I don't know what I did that other people don't do, because I listen to stories and it's heroic the efforts that other people do. And so I don't think that my way of doing it was any better than anybody else's, because we could sit and talk about your 17 years and you would tell me everything that you've done. And I'd be like, well, I didn't do that. Oh, that's amazing. You did that. Everybody has their own hero's journey about recovering from this. And I think it is a hero's journey, because if you don't do everything you can, you know what the alternative is. If you just give up, we all know what the alternative is to the life we're going to live. And so you continue trying everything. And I just tried so many things, and out of so many things, a few of them worked really, really well.
Yeah. What would you say to people that are dealing with similar challenges, like words of encouragement or hope, or what would you like for them to know?
Yeah.
That might be of support or inspiration.
Yeah. So, well, there's quite a few things. One is that this doesn't have to be a loss of your life. You know, if your house burned down in a fire, you wouldn't just sit in the ruins of your ash-filled front yard for the rest of your life and be like, I lost my house. Life is over. Everything, the pictures, everything. At some point, you realize you have to build another house. And go into that attitude of like, well, I'm going to build an even better home with who I am now. And who I am now has very different needs of what that house was before. So I think that wherever your energetic level is, you have to start at that point in time. There's a wonderful book out there. It's called How to Be Sick. I don't know if you've ever read that or if you've ever heard of that book, but it's kind of a Buddhist standpoint of looking at, so now you're sick. How are you going to maintain the relationships? How are you going to keep your caregivers? How are you going to build a life and you're completely sick and you don't have the tools you had to build? Basically, if you need to build a new house, but you don't have arms anymore, how are you going to build a house without arms? And it's like, well, there's going to be some challenges that you're going to have that other people don't have. And you just face each one of those challenges with as much kindness and as much fortitude and using what you can. And some of the biggest challenges for me were financial. I mean, I was devastated financially, and the world financially, you know, we have to pay for our medical care, our food, our homes. How do you do that when you are devastated? And I found compassionate caregivers. I used every nonprofit out there to help myself. I treated them with respect. I told them as I got better, I would come back and pay them back for their services, which I did. It took me 3 and 4 years to pay back the caregivers that helped me get well, but I came back to all of them. And you know, the amazing thing is most of them didn't remember that I owed them money, because this is just the kind of people they are. And I'm like, oh, well, you saw me 5 times and you didn't charge me. Really? I didn't know that, you know, and here's $500. Because I couldn't pay them at the time. You know, there's just, it is a spiritual path. Illness is a spiritual path. It breaks you wide open. And, it makes you have to rely on things greater than yourself. I was super independent, so proud of my independence, and constantly trying to acquire more skills to keep me independent and not have to rely on other people. And this illness just totally leveled all of that. I had to rely on people for everything. It was very humbling. And now I can't imagine my life without relying on people, you know? I rely on people. People rely on me. It's an exchange of energy. Mm-hmm. I help people free of charge because I was helped free of charge.
Yeah. And do you experience setbacks?
Yes. Yes, I definitely do. You know, unexpected stressful events in life can set me back. Getting off schedule, going on vacation, or eating foods, really little things can set me back. Emotional disruptions in my life can set me back. So I've had to develop tools for each of those things. You know, if I go on vacation, I have to build in rest time. I have to bring all my herbs with me. I have to schedule maybe an acupuncture or session wherever I'm going. The food issue, if I eat bad food, I have to do a detox the next day. I have to have my things on hand that are going to clear out my liver, you know? And yeah, I still want to go celebrate somebody's birthday with them and have a glass of wine and a piece of gluten cake, you know, and I'm going to pay the price for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you really have gotten to know yourself very well.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
Who was I before this? You know?
Yeah. And you developed a lot of self-discipline, or call it self-love, in the process.
And love for humanity too.
Yeah.
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 Like I look out there and to me, I see a lot of homeless people. I think they have Lyme disease. I think, oh my gosh, they live outside. They live on the beds of the forest. Many of them have pets. They show so much of the symptoms of TBI or of Lyme disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, I have a lot of gentleness for them. I look at it differently.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can cut it out.
Okay. Speaking of which, we have a homeless person right now.
Oh, no.
Hi, Mario.
Hi. I just came over here just to get away from all of it. I'm not going to do anything wrong.
All right, you promised me. I'm in a meeting.
Hey, I know. Be quiet.
Okay.
Nobody knows I'm here.
Okay.
I was just going to have a cigarette. I just don't want to talk to all the people. They smashed my guitar.
I'm sorry.
So this is and then at least it did. We know each
other. Yeah.
Right? And then she tried to tell me she didn't do it. Well, finally everybody started to admit it. In front of 10 people, she found it down the
green. I'm sorry.
I picked up all the pieces. I took the pieces off the mattress. Now, I was just
Mario.
Down after 6 days.
Mario. Sorry.
I'll be quiet.
All right.
But, yeah, so now there's like 5 pieces. And my friend, she gives me
Mario.
Mario,
I'm going to shut the door now.
Okay.
So that was perfect timing.
Yes, that was an example of how you're more compassionate for humanity and what other people are struggling with. I feel the same way when I see people on the street and I think, oh, I think most of them must have a traumatic brain injury.
Yes, yes.
One thing that I take with... You know, I'm taking many things from this conversation, but also that, you know, people cannot just walk into your store and there will be one thing for PTSD, one for head injury, one for, like, no, it's
no.
Still holistic, it's the whole person. People have to put their own energy into their healing, find out what works, develop a discipline, and make this a project, and
yes.
Not just like a pill you can take for it and then you...
Yes.
Kind of move on, or will be like before.
Yes.
So part of this is you gotta walk your talk. It's part the healing and the growth happens because of the investment in one's own life.
You got it, girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's totally it.
Yeah.
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 And you know, we have a homeless person that lives about 15 miles from here, and he had Lyme disease really, really bad. I didn't know if he was going to pull out of it. Lost tremendous amounts of weight, major anxiety, inability to focus or concentrate, couldn't take care of himself, couldn't eat properly, had no money. He would get his state disability checks and couldn't remember receiving them in the mail or how to deposit them or anything. It was just classic symptoms. And we started him on a tea just to calm his anxiety. That's it. We're like, can you drink one cup of this every day to calm your anxiety? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can remember to do that. And how am I going to get hot water? And, you know, so we gave him a jar and we said, fill up this jar with water before you go to bed at night. Put the herbs in the jar. Let them soak overnight. And drink the water in the morning. Can you do that? Well, yeah, I can fill up. I can go then to the public bathrooms and put water in the jar. And we're like, great. So we gave him enough herbs for a week, and we said, come back in a week and we'll give you more herbs. He came back in a week. He goes, you know what? I am feeling a little bit better. So out of that and the calming of his nervous system, then he started telling us other symptoms, and we just went through them one by one. He recently came in and he bought one of our advanced manuals on herbalism. This was a man that could barely read a street sign and understand what it meant. He bought one of our manuals that was about 2.5 inches thick on adaptogenic herbs. He sat on our front porch. He was so excited to buy it with his state disability check that he had deposited in his bank account and had an ATM card to withdraw and pay for. And he sat on our steps and he read the book, and I took pictures of him. He's put on about 30 or 40 pounds. He's almost starting to look healthy and normal again. And it's been about a 2 or 3 year process, but we just started with one symptom. And out of that one symptom, he's not homeless anymore. He has a room in somebody's home. And, you know, who knows what he's going to be like another 3 years from now.
Yeah.
He might even be able to hold a job.
Yeah.
You know?
That's really a lovely story. It's a very
interesting. Step by step, yeah.
Yes, step by step. One thing that I'm certainly very impressed with is how fast you move through the struggle of being suicidal to accepting, making the best out of it, and now supporting others in a short time, really.
I think my general nature in this lifetime is a generally positive nature. I look back on my childhood, my teen years, growing up, I generally have been a positive human being. And I'm also very sensitive. And Lyme disease brought out a loss of hope, a loss of life forces to live anymore and take care of myself, depression. It brought out all these things that I never even knew I had before. Kind of like what you would call the shadow side of who I was that I never really ever had a reason to experience before. And there was no not facing it. It wasn't going to go away. I had to face my shadow side. And I'm not as happy-go-lucky as I used to be. And I'm not as Pollyanna and super positive. But the reality is I didn't really want to die. The reality is I just wanted a different life, and the life I was being presented was intolerable to me, and I could only see suicide as the way of getting out of it rather than the fact I had the power to change it. I just had to completely change who I was and my perception. Mm-hmm. And once I accepted that, it became kind of fun again. I remember one of my doctors wanted to put me on antidepressants. And really, looking at the Lyme literature, antidepressants are not particularly effective in Lyme disease. Now, if you have an underlying depression because of other factors, then the antidepressants can be really important. But for a Lyme disease infection only, not so much. And I really thought hard about going on them. I had been on them before, and I generally was happier on them, but I also was more shallow on them, and they affected my creativity and other parts of my life. So one of the things in accepting this new life was, I'm not going to be the same happy person everybody is used to knowing. I'm not going to be giggly. I'm not going to be super excitable. I'm going to be calmer. I'm going to be a little bit more introspective. My laugh is going to be real. It's not going to be giggly. And when that person emerged, it was okay. I made lots of friends who liked that new person. And I look back on the giggly, super almost sweet and innocent person that I was before. And I look at her compassionately, but I really like who I am better.
Which means you don't have difficulties with comparing yourself to what your former classmates or nothing, no?
No, I can't, you know? What I'm dealing with right now is how much my body has changed because of this illness, the physical body. You know, I haven't been able to exercise the same way that I would like to. I can't do that deep sweat, exhaustion exercise, or I'll be in bed for 2 to 3 days recovering, you know? Yeah. And that super toned, bounce quarters off my stomach type of body is just not there anymore, you know? And I'm going into menopause. I mean, I'm 50 years old now. And so just the natural expressions of my body are changing. And I'm like, how did I deal with this before? How did I deal with turning into a teenager and going from this child into a teenager? I'm like, I don't even think I was aware of back in the day when that happened. And how did I change from a teenager into a 20-something old as I developed breasts and hips and softness? How did that go? And then how did I change from that person into a mother with a huge belly and all of that? And I look at all the different expressions of my body throughout my lifetime. And this is just the next expression of my body. And anybody who wants to judge me on it, okay, it's disappointing that they're going to judge me on it. But I'm sorry, this is just who I am now.
Yeah.
And I have wrinkles, and my skin is not as tight, and I wish it was, and I wish the gray hairs weren't coming in, but you know, there's beauty in that too. And my girlfriends who really get it, we go down to the river, we peel off our clothes, we laugh and giggle, and we jump in the river, and we go for a swim, and we don't care what other people think about our body.
My last question is for maybe parents
who
have children that have Lyme disease or any other challenges affecting the nervous system.
So that's really, really most dear to my heart, because I have a 20-year-old son now who has had Lyme disease for almost 16 years. And my path of recovery has not been his story. So everything that worked for me has not worked for my son at the same level. So we've tried Western medicine. We've tried alternative medicine. We've tried shaman. We've tried religion. We've done the entire gamut, and his body is very depleted from Lyme disease as compared to my body. And neurologically, he and I had almost identical blood work for our Lyme disease, but his neurological symptoms are so much more profound than mine. And he's in the youth of his life. So there's almost a survivor guilt in that we both started on this path at almost the exact same time within months of each other. I mean, it was him that I was taking through our forest jaunts when he was 4 years old, and we were playing forest fairy and troll and all sorts of games in the forest every day, and then we'd come home and he'd pick off the ticks on me and I'd pick off the ticks on him, and we'd go, ugh, yuck, and we'd, you know, we'd flush him down the toilet. And we both got Lyme disease from living in Cape Cod. I think I was meant to be his mom through this, because I think it takes a tremendous toll on parents to understand their children as they're going through this, because they're developing one as human beings anyway, from children into adults. So they're going through everything at such an accelerated rate on their personality unfolding in those formative years. And so it's hard to differentiate how much of this is just my child trying to grow up and how much of this is the Lyme disease. How much of this is my child being a normal, moody teenager, and how much of this is one of the co-infections. Many, I can't believe how many times I hear this story. Teenagers are diagnosed as having mental illness because of this disease that is affecting their brain tissues. and they get diagnoses of schizophrenia and manic depressive and ADD and ADHD and all of these things. And Lyme being the great imitator, yeah, it can look like that. We had to educate our therapist. We have Dakota in bi-weekly therapy at this point in time. There was a time he was going in it for weekly. He was cutting himself because he did not know what was happening to his body. He hadn't been diagnosed with Lyme disease. Neither one of us were. We didn't get our diagnosis till almost 10 years into the illnesses, both he and I. And the anxiety, the sleeplessness, the isolation, the loss of friends, the inability to go out on dates and enjoy a normal teenage life, they all took his toll on him. And getting him into therapy was huge. But then we had to educate our therapist because she didn't know about Lyme disease. And so I educated her, and in her path with being our therapist, she now sees how many of her patients would seemingly fit a diagnosis of manic depressive, but it's really a bacterial infection in their brain. To all the parents who have children out there going through this, I belong on many Lyme forums, and so I know who these parents are. I see their stories. There's not a single parent out there who has a child with Lyme disease that isn't giving 100% to try to help that child, because you love them so much. Mm-hmm. And to see them suffer, mm-hmm, just breaks your heart, and to be helpless in that suffering. Mm-hmm. So the thing I can offer parents is don't ever give up, because there's going to be one treatment that works when the others don't. So Dakota and I have this running thing. That's my son's name. You know, I'll come home with something. He's like, oh, Mom, not again. I'm like, Dakota, we leave no rock unturned. And you know what? We've discovered some really good things. Just this weekend, so he's had a girlfriend for 5 years. Amazing. She is like an angel. And she's preparing to go away to college. So 2 years ago, we took Dakota to a restaurant, which in and of itself was a huge thing, taking him out in public. And by the time we sat down to order, he was so overstimulated by the smells, the sounds, the busyness of waiters, the menu. He just burst into tears at the table. He started crying. And we helped him get to the car. We turned on white noise in the car, and we let him be alone, because that's what he needed. These past 2 days, taking his girlfriend, getting her ready to go to college, we went to a new town. We went out to eat for 3 or 4 times a day. He ordered off the menu completely on his own. He had the stamina to walk back and forth between the cars and these restaurants, or the cars and the college, which he never could do before. And is he able to be an independent human being? No, not at this time in life. Is he able to work or have a driver's license or any of that? No, no, no. But the shift in him from 2 years ago, based on the herbs and based on the nutritional supplements that we are giving him, is profound. And once again, we have him in a very low stimulation environment, living out of town, no noises, our house being very peaceful and quiet, all appliances running at night while we're asleep, low lighting in the house. All of these things have given his brain the time to relax and to start building up its resources. Mm-hmm. And he's lucky, because he can do that because he has parents providing for him. This is not the case for adults.
Yeah.
You know? So he was meant to have me as his mom, having gone through Lyme disease, because I fully understand there's nothing he's experiencing that I can't relate to at some level. And that calms the survivor guilt I have that I pulled out of it and he didn't. Because I'm like, and I was meant to be your mom. And I got better and you didn't. We're going to find the cure, the remedy, whatever works for you. And I'm so thankful that I get to be your mom through this.
Well, thank you so much for this detailed interview and your honesty and sharing so much personal think it's very moving listening to your story. When people would like to know about your store and your business, what can they do?
So our store is called HALO, and it's spelled H-A-A-L-O, and that originally stood for an acronym, which was Health Alternatives for All Locals. And you can find us on the web at www.halo.org. We also have a pretty vibrant Facebook page, and you know, I let the herbalists post whatever they want on the Facebook page. So, you know, they're posting pictures of plants and trees and them in their personal life. I never know what's going to be on that Facebook page, but it's pretty fun to visit. And we also have a newsletter. And if you go to our website, we send out a newsletter. And our main thing at HALO is that we really want to educate people on the proper use of herbs. And so we hold a lot of classes. Our 2017 class curriculum hasn't been published yet, but we will be publishing that in the next month.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure, Sabine. Yeah. Truly, thank you. Thank you.